And tonight we offer all to you, that you might come and inhabit our praise, dwell in the midst of our worship, that your face will be seen, that the light of your countenance will be seen in manifestation. Oh God, we call upon you. Oh God, we call upon you. Let everything that was lost be found. Let everything that was buried be recovered. We call upon you. We call upon you. That time has come. That day of need is here. We call upon you. We call upon you, oh God. We call upon you. Somebody call upon him right now. We call upon your great name. We reach out in the spirit. We reach out in the spirit. We reach out in the spirit. Lord, quicken that which is dead. Make alive that which is about to die. We call upon your name. We call upon you. The time of need is here and now. We call upon your name. We call upon you right now. See a look at him. Thank you, Lord. We give a glory. We give a glory. We give a prayer. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. Oh, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. Invincible. Immutable. Thank you for the superfluity of your grace, of which we are recipients. Thank you for your abundant mercy. Thank you because you are plenteous in redemption. Thank you, O God. Thank you, O God. We worship you, O God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. For a few moments, we just want you to be seated. God bless you. You are welcome. Now, You're all welcome to this evening session. I trust that God is going to drop something into somebody's hands. Now, that statement I made was not a pastor statement. You know, the kind of statement we make as pastors on the pulpit. Good statements, positive statements. That is not one of them. I'm saying that before the end of this meeting, God, you don't need to believe it anyway, will drop something into somebody's hands. I do not say that so that you will say amen. You see, when you are listening to 7 o'clock news, when the news comes to an end, you don't say amen. I'm telling you what will happen. Whether you say amen or not, it will happen. God will drop something in somebody's hands. Now, I have seen that. That's what I'm telling you. Your unbelief cannot stop it. It is governed by the sovereignty of God. God wants to do it, and he will do it in this meeting. He will drop something into somebody's hands. Whether you are deep in unbelief and it's you, he will come. You cannot resist what has come into this hall this night. You can't resist it. You can't resist it. Many things that, you know, sometimes spiritual things are strange. Someone might come in contact with a spiritual thing, but he may not have the ability to benefit from it because he did not know it. The Bible says that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities because we know not. There is a limitation of ignorance that we all sustain as humans. And because of that limitation, we need the Spirit's help to upgrade us, to upgrade our knowledge, our intuition, our capacity. Because spiritual activities cannot operate on the level of flesh and blood. The level of the knowledge that you acquired in the library, that which you got from the professor in the classroom, that is not the kind of knowledge that will give you advantage in the realm of the Spirit. And because of this obvious limitation of lack of knowledge, we do not qualify to do business in the spiritual realm. And so the Bible says that the Spirit helped Alpha. If you know what God expects from you, the scope and the expectations that God exercises on the account of your call, you will know how much you need God. Because you cannot fulfill any of those things on the frequency, on the capacity of your humanity. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. He upgrades us, qualifies us, he increases us. He takes us in and he manufactures us after a different kind and releases us with capacities that have the dimensions of our best colors. The Spirit, he helpeth our infirmity. Now, as we journey today in the presence of God, I counsel that you allow yourself to be helped by the great help of infirmities in Jesus' mighty name. And don't forget the news for today. Somebody, God will drop something in your hand. There was a meeting I attended about 10 years ago. After the meeting, I could not stand up from the seat because I felt physical weakness. I was thinking it was sickness. It was not sickness. It was the Holy Ghost. He drained my physical strength. I cannot fathom that kind of impartation that somebody receives, and the natural effect is that his physical strength is drained. Took me 4 years to find out what came on me. The Spirit helped my infirmities. Now, before we connect with where we stopped yesterday evening, I want to give you some tips for the spiritual journey. This one is tips, tools for the journey. Some tools, some tips for the spiritual journey. Then when we are through with the tips, we will now continue. But at any point in time where I was thinking we'll do this one tomorrow, but what came here today is much. So we are enjoined to follow along. Hallelujah. Our teaching is relevant as long as he has not started releasing it. But the point where the releases begin, will just switch and come into that realm. In the name of Jesus Christ. So we'll take some tools for the spiritual journey. The first tool is you must know how to rest spiritually. Spiritual rest. If you don't know this, you can't go too far. You don't know about these tools, you can't advance far. Because in our time, in our generation, in our own day, we are saddled with the responsibility of showcasing the tangibility of God. Not in proverbs and in parables, but to bring God and present him tangibly for a generation that is ignorant totally to come into contact with him, know his ways, and know how to walk with him. All the mysteries that are attached to this reality are taken out of the way through strategic understanding and insight, so that even the least among us can become as strong as David. You see, the spirit realm doesn't need to be a mystery to us again. Rest. That's the first tool in the spiritual journey. We must know how to rest in the spirit. Exodus chapter 31. You know, I am sure that if I don't show you this verse of scripture, you will not believe it's in the Bible. That's why I want to show you. Exodus 31 will begin from verse 15. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall be surely put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. Verse 17 is my emphasis. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and in the seventh day he what? He rested and what? Was refreshed. Now, if I didn't open this scripture, some people will never agree that God needs to be refreshed. Now, there is a technology in the spirit. Please, I would like you to come with this night. It's a night where distraction will be costly. The Bible says that in the seventh day, God rested and was refreshed. Every spirit being must know how to rest. If you don't know how to rest in your spirit, you will not be able to amass great power from there. So the Bible says that God rested on the seventh day and was refreshed. So if God rested and was refreshed, it means that there's a technology for rest for every believer in God. And if you are not subscribing to that technology, you are bound to experience drought sometimes, where you lose all spiritual freshness. And from interviews, we have found out that many believers come to a level where they are all spent. That is not supposed to be your experience as a believer, if you know how to rest. Because there's refreshing that is factored into spirit life. And until the average believer knows how to rest and to draw strength,
and to get refreshed and to be renewed,
then the possibility of you fulfilling that which God has summoned you to fulfill does not exist in the first place. Secondly, I also need to reveal to us that it's only demonic spirits that do not rest. Not because they don't want to rest. One of the curses that God placed on the demonic world is the inability to find rest and refreshing. You see, I'm careful in this conference to check everything from the Bible so that you'll be confident that what you are receiving is true. Now, in Matthew chapter 12, are you with me in Matthew 12? Now the Bible speaks about an unclean spirit. One is casted out of his abode. He goeth around looking for rest. So see, by design, it needs rest. So he goes to search for it. And when he finds none, say, God, I need to go back to the place where I was. Because there was no rest. A demonic spirit suffers if it doesn't have a body to possess, because the only possibility of succor is that he has a body. So when you cast the spirit out, you have done great disservice to it, because his ability to find rest has been denied it. Now, if that's how important rest is in the spirit, and the average believer doesn't know how to contact this kind of rest, then we have a problem somewhere. Because when we diagnose the spiritual conditions of believers in this time, we try to find out why we have the kind of limitations that we battle with. That has been my burden for a while. Why is it that the average believer battles with limitations and things like that? Meanwhile, the power that is at work in your spirit, when Paul was trying to describe it in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, he used four Greek words to explain one thing. And those words obviously were insufficient. You see, in Greek language, there are four words for power. These four words mean different things. Paul used all of those words in one verse, trying to explain the power that is at work within us. He used the word dunamis, which is an inherent power. A power which, when given to you, confers responsibility upon you. Inherent power, just like you have water in the house. Alright? There's water. I don't know whether it's water bottle or tank. But you see, that's inherent power. We have water. It's available. But before you can tap into it, you need to turn the tap. That one is not water bottle's responsibility. It's your responsibility. Just in case you feel you need the water well enough, there is a responsibility conferred upon you to do what? Because the water is inherent. Everything that is inherent confers a responsibility upon you in order to tap into. So dunamis talks about inherent power. It is, what do we call it? Potential energy. In physics, potential energy. Potential energy is not useful to you as potential energy. It must be converted to kinetic energy before it will be useful to you. Dunamis is not useful to you as dunamis. It is potential energy. It is resident. It is inherent. But you need to do something to convert it from potential to kinetic energy. You know, when you switch on the tap, you have placed a demand on the reservoir that is up there
And then the water that sustains potential energy gains kinetic momentum, begins to move. That's why you can make use of it. You cannot make use of it as dunamis. You must convert it to kinetic energy. Now, so that power that Jesus said you shall receive after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you, that power is dunamis. It's a potential energy. Now, see, that's why we need to speak in tongues. We need to speak in tongues so much in order to convert that potential into something that is kinetic. We need to speak in tongues in order to stir the river. Because you see, the Bible says that an angel comes in a certain time to stir it. The river is already there, but before it can be useful to you, it has to be what? Kinetic. So in speaking in tongues, you are trying to convert some kind of energy. The energy is inherent, but it's not beneficial until it's converted to another form of energy. That other form of energy, which is kinetic energy in Greek language, is called ischus. Kinetic. Ischus. It's vital. Paul used dunamis. Paul used ischus. Trying to explain to us that power that is at work in us. Now, if you understand that power very well, you will realize that nothing from the kingdom of darkness, nothing born of man can successfully stand that power. But you see, in our own experience as Christians, we find a lot of contradictions. And as such, we have to carry out a survey in order to ascertain the reason for the inconsistencies, the reason for the lack of power, the reason for the lack of depth, the reason for the lack of penetration and access, the reason for the lack of reach and coverage. One of the first things we found out was that the average Pentecostal believer doesn't understand the principle of rest. Your unclean spirit was looking for rest, but did not find it. So all of unclean spirits are doomed with a life of restlessness. Okay? Alright, let's tap into the technology of rest. These are tools for your spiritual journey. They are basic tools. If you are going to do marathon in the spirit world, you need these tools. I know what I'm saying is sweet to some people's ears, but to some others, they are actually tools for they need it. They are tools for their journey because they intend to go far with God. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, I'm rushing for time because I just want to give us these tools. Then we can go back to where we started. In Isaiah chapter 28, from verse 9, it says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? And there's a qualification. In order for you to be taught knowledge by the Lord, and in order for you to be brought to the point where you have understanding of doctrine, of the teaching, it's in the book of John chapter 7 that we understand what the doctrine is. The doctrine is the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ and his kingdom. How the kingdom of Christ sown as a seed in the heart of a mortal man, how it expands and begins to overtake the territories of the man's universe. That was what became the doctrine of the apostles. And so the Bible says, who is he that he will teach knowledge? Who is he that he will understand doctrine? He gave a few requirements. He said, them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. You see, breast, even though as adults, once in a while we still take milk, but we don't live on it. Baby food, you don't live on it. Even though you can still take custard, it will still make, Cerelac. You can take Cerelac, it might make sense to you, but you cannot live on it. You finish 3 days of fasting and what you have is Cerelac. It may not make sense to you. But you see, in the spirit realm, there are several believers that have decided to pitch their tent on baby food. You see, one of the problems we also discovered along the way is that our generation has come to a point where we like Christian baby food.
I will tell you about this baby food. Because it's raining, you know, to cook. This one that you are looking at me, say, where are you from? No, this baby food is what is on display in Otukpo.
Whenever people are always learning, but they cannot come to the knowledge of the truth, where they cannot come to a point where they know God, and the expression of their knowledge of God can be factored into their premise and their environment, it is because there's something wrong with their diet. And the Bible says that the guys that will understand knowledge, the guys that can be taught knowledge, and the people that can be brought into understanding must fundamentally have decided of necessity to leave baby food. Baby food. Now let me show you baby food. Because if you know the gospel of Jesus, the one we heard that brought us salvation, Ewo, you are not with me. There are actually 10 levels of that gospel. The gospel of salvation. It's not ministers' digest. If we were only ministers here, we would have digressed into that and looked at it. Then, it's 1 to 9. I will keep number 10. I won't tell you number 10. You'll find it. But I would have given you 1 to 9. After giving you 1 to 9, then we'll ask you to tick the one you preach. If we take an average of what we come in, you'll find that in Otupo is baby food. I did it in Lagos, and in Lagos is baby food. I did it in Ogun State, it was baby food. Meanwhile, the qualification for understanding, the qualification for who can be taught knowledge, is that he must fundamentally have left what? Let me give you a sign, just because we don't have time to dabble into that. You know, Paul admonished in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, that we should leave the elementary doctrines of Christ, the elementary things, and then we should strive towards perfection. The reason why he made that statement is because it is possible for you to like baby arena and perch there. It is possible. The way baby doctrine is, it's so contagious. It can make you abandon your destiny, and then you just sit there and say, let's go. So Paul had to admonish that we should, if you are accurate, if you are spiritually accurate and you are operationally accurate, you should be desiring to leave the elementary things and you should be striving for perfection. Now, the difference is this. In the gospel of salvation, Jesus is doing something for us. Jesus died for us. Abi? And I hope you know is the death of Jesus on the cross paid the price for sin. And sickness, which is an implication of sin, was also dealt with in that stroke. So we can lay claim to sickness. We can lay claim to health on the account of that sacrifice. We can lay claim to prosperity on the account of what he paid for, because he paid to the uttermost and he secured all that pertains to life and godliness as far as the sphere of man is concerned within the context of God's purpose and his will. Do you understand what I'm talking about? On the platform of baby food, Jesus is the one that is paying for everything, and then you just show up and you're enjoying it. So that's where we have things like salvation, things like prosperity, things like success, more jobs, more money, more houses. Hallelujah. And you know, to put that's where the doctrine stops. That's baby food. It's a deliberate attempt to keep you perpetually swaddled within the context of babyhood Christianity, such that you are denied access to the weightier matters of the kingdom. You cannot understand knowledge and you are denied access to understanding. The second level of that gospel is the gospel of the stature of leadership. As you begin to grow in Christ and begin to pray, then God begins to give you personal instructions, which is different from the Bible study. Has it happened to you before? Personal instructions. And then you begin to try to comply with these personal instructions. And unknown to you, in complying with these personal instructions, you come to a point where you have some measure of grace at work in your life, such that you can teach other people and admonish other people. By the grace of God as a functional in your life, God is unconsciously bringing you into the point of influence in the body of Christ. You can teach Sunday school. You can lead opening prayer. You see, in the first scenario, I am the one that is blessed by what Jesus did. In the second scenario, other people are blessed by what I'm doing. Now, at the most, Christians, stop here. But as good as this level is, that is not the sphere of the gospel of the kingdom. He begins to see an increase in the anointing on your life actually confers upon you the responsibility of service. Now, see, that has brought you into the corridors of leadership and influence. So more anointing means more influence. You get that? And then you begin to influence other people's life by the workings of God in your own life. That's a good place to be, but that's not the ultimate place. Because in the third aspect, the ultimate realm is the gospel of the kingdom. And in the gospel of the kingdom, you now discover that God, the sovereign, has a need. And then you want to meet the need that is upon God's heart. Okay, you are not here. You see, when we depart from baby food and responsibility begins to come, people don't respond again. Say, God, there's a body. So that preacher that made you feel like you don't have anything to do, just, tap into what is available, and all of that. It's a calculated effort to ensure that you never attain to the point of spiritual knowledge. Those unpopular preachers that want to put you through, so that in practicality and in reality, you know the path of walk with God that you must sustain to the extent, to the intent that God will be pleased by your own life. Those ones are taking you further. But their gospel is not sellable. It's not so attractive. No, the average human being that has not dealt with the flesh doesn't like that template, because it does not glorify anything of the flesh. See, by your inclination, you determine your extent and your limits. You determine your penetration and your coverage. So if you say that your life will not be within the context of that which will please God. Now, see, the context and the audience of the man operating from the highest level is that God is his first audience. So he, in that context, he seeks that God will be pleased. Those are many, many different things. God came to me, it was in this town many years ago, I guess in 2001. I was fasting and praying somewhere at Upu Road area. Fasting and praying. And I was doing the fasting and prayer for 9 days. As I was praying and fasting, God now began to show me, give me direction. He said, this thing you have learned, you have spent many years of your life learning this kind of teaching. In your generation, it will not be relevant. Now, so cut off from this thing and become my student. Let me teach you. Now, if you are going to cut off that way, there are many things you are going to lose, because you took time to build yourself along that line. I was building myself to be a preacher of milk, where I'd be giving milk. Say, no, your generation needs more than milk. The devils that will come against your generation require people that have stature in the spirit. So if you are going to put to the best use this grace I put upon you to expose, to expound, to reveal, and to uncover, then you are going to learn something else. It will take you some time to learn it. Now, meanwhile, God gave me a choice. You can do that, this will be the end point. You have a lot of money and all of that, but you will not be connected to my purpose and my program. So just in case you want to please God, you now come into that context that is his desire for you. Those are people that have qualified to understand doctrine and knowledge. Now, so if we take your life as a case study, what is the context? Your prayer is actually a measure of your spiritual existence. If we check the content of your prayer for the last 1 month, and everything is based on me, it means you are one of the baby food people. And on that level of efficiency, you will never understand God. You will never. Because it's a self-centered posture. You believe it's all about you. No, in the kingdom, it's not about you. It's about God. Meanwhile, Jesus did not die for you. Jesus died to satisfy his father's will. But it affected you. Somehow. So some of us get so marooned, and you feel that, hey, he just came, died. No, until he died, he was talking about his father. Why did you? He didn't talk about you to fulfill his father's will. That is the reason why every preacher goes on the field, not because of the people. It's because of God. Oh, you don't understand. Because you get to a point where the people that you have suffered for will become a danger to you. So if it's them that are doing it for you, you will quit. But if you are doing it to serve the will of God, you will be happy. That he called me, I didn't see your face. The one that called me is the one I'm serving. Maybe I may not appeal to you, but you are not in the equation. Or you are not getting it. Don't get confused. He died to fulfill his father's will. Yes, his father's will had you in view, but his death was unto his father. But the implication of his death brought you some good stuff. You should understand the pattern of the kingdom. We do all to serve the will of God. If we stop at that baby food level, the things we lose, in fact, we become exposed eventually. Now the devil is about to invade our land, and we don't have enough warriors to withstand him. It's a bad time. The Bible speaks about what happened in Ramah. That Rachel was mourning, weeping for her children, and could not be comforted because there were no more. The children did not do anything. What did they do? They were children. The only problem they had was that they were children at the wrong time. So if you are doing baby food Christianity, continue. A time will come where your only offense will be that you are a spiritual baby. The average Christian doesn't want to mature, not doesn't want to go on to maturity. He doesn't desire to understand the dynamics and mysteries that drive the culture of the spirit. He's just there. And they are deceiving him. Say, all the prosperity they are preaching, you know, to put, how many people are prospered? No. You don't understand. Hey. Meanwhile, in holiness movement time, that he never preached prosperity, people still prosper. Something is wrong with the church. Something is wrong with the body of Christ. And a generation must have to discern that so that they can take their journey. A man that has not offered himself to God, say he wants to give God a gift. And if he believes that his gift has the power to redeem him from sudden disease destruction, you are operating in limbo. That's why we need the tools for the spiritual job. You need to understand it. So that you will leave this, you will know after this conference. Wait, oh, I'm a fake man. You just know, and then you will now decide if you want to be fake continually. Because we have many fake Christians. Some of you come to church because you heard that the God of Zion can make you rich. That's why you came. You will never be rich that way. Never. Never. You will walk in dark places, in dry lands. Your feet will never come on butter. But anyone that decides to strive so that he can satisfy God's need, he has fulfilled the requirement of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then God places favor upon his life and causes the things that Gentiles seek to navigate in his direction. So many of us have been fooled to remain spiritual babes And I tell you, from that standpoint, your journey is hard. It's very hard. God will help us in Jesus' name. From the standpoint of a babe, your life is hard. When you begin to climb higher in the spirit, then when God tests your heart and see that you are not doing it for any benefit in His kingdom, you know when most, what's his name? Solomon. Solomon said, okay, what I just need is give me wisdom, let me judge your people rightly. God added prosperity for free. Those are the base things in the kingdom. If you become so relevant to God, He will sustain you. Yes, He will do that. He will cause men to go out of their ways to be a blessing to you. The two leaf gates will be open to you and they will never be shut. The forces of the... There are many houses in Otukpo that people are not staying inside. Don't you know? You will not know yet. God will hide you until you start living for Him. He will hide you. He will hide you. He is sovereign. He will hide you. He will start revealing you when your life is in alignment. Your life is beneficial to His kingdom. He will know how to... See, there's nothing you can do. Put your face on poster. You will still be hidden. Hey! Print poster. Put. There's a politician that brought out his poster. He didn't write that I'm contesting for Senate. Or governor, just brought poster. Say, with God, all things. See, you will bring poster like that and you will still be hidden. You see, my cottage. Those of you must have seen it. There is not for governor or counselor, just you say with God. Bring poster. Print like that, you will still be hidden. Now, so we must desire to be weaned from the breast. We must desire to be weaned from milk. Let's go on. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. That's the secret of Bible teaching and exposition. The counsel of God is in different places on one subject. So if you want to have a balanced view or the Bible position of a matter, you have to consult all the scriptures, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, then you now see the accurate perspective of God. Those of you that say money answereth all things. Alright? Have you quoted that scripture before? Money answereth what? Most of you quoted it out of context. It was, you didn't obey this law. Because truth does not exist in a vacuum. It exists in a context. So what was the environment where that scripture was found? It is only true in that environment. If you take it out of that environment, it's like fish out of water. It will die. The scripture will die. It can't conduct life outside of the environment where it's found. And I know none of you have cared to check the context where that scripture was removed from. But you are quoting it. Money answer it. All things. Where is the context? If I conduct census now, you find out that nobody had cared to check the context where that scripture was found. But you are quoting it. That's not the way. He said, precept must be what? Upon precept. He said, line must be what? Upon line. You must hear a little, there a little. It's just like, you see, the skill in tailoring. It's not the sewing. Not attaching the garments together and mending. The skill in it is the cutting. And in cutting, there's a way you can cut it. One of the legs will be baggy. The other one will be pencil. That was what Paul was trying to describe when he said, we have to rightly divide the word of truth. He was talking about tent making business. Tailoring. The skill is what is the dividing. I don't want to go far on this. I would have shown you how half-baked doctrines were created. Superman doctrine. And the vision behind the doctrine is to keep people perpetually in infants. And that's what people are gathering to in campsites in Lagos. That's what they are gathering to in campsites in Onitsha. It means a generation of babes have erupted. It means also that very soon in Rama, they will be willing. Okay, let's go. From verse 11 is my emphasis. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak unto these people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Now, notice the two words that were used. This is the rest, and this is the refreshing. Just like it was in Exodus chapter 31 verse 17, where we read that God rested and was what? Refreshed. The Bible is now saying, with the stammering of the lips and with a new tongue will I speak unto these people. Wherewith he said, this is the rest and this is the refreshing. But they will not hear. Now, there is a way of deriving spiritual rest from tongues, with a stammering lips, with a new tongue. Now, I think we need to balance a lot of things. First of all, he said with a stammering lips. Number two, he said what? With a what? New tongue. Will I speak unto this people? And that stammering lips and that new tongue is the rest and the refreshing. Are you with me? Now, let's understand what the stammering lips and the new tongue means. Then we can now understand how to draw rest from that spiritual activity. Are we on the same page? We are just taking tools for the spiritual journey. You know these things that I'm trying to share. I'm not trying to emphasize it. Then we'll now go back to it. So that we can be sure that everyone that came understands the tools. In the book of Mark, turn, chapter 16. You know, in these days of so many fake, we try to be opening scripture. We endeavor to do that. It's not so much of a burden for us to open scripture so that people can be acquainted with the ways of God. In Lagos, oh my God, God will help us. God will help Lagos. In Jesus' name. We went for a service in Lagos and they were settling quarrel. That was the service. Me and my brother went. And that day they ushered us to the front. We were just sitting there and then they were settling quarrel. One pastor came and was settling two pastors. That was the service for that day. Settling quarrel. We left that place. The small fire we came with was quenched and sickness was added. God, Kai, oh my God. So much has been done in the name of church. So much. So. But some of us have made up our mind that in our time, God will not be put to shame. So we will strive to this end that God will have glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, I said you should open to Mark chapter 16. I want to pick a scripture. 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This and this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongue. If your Bible is not borrowed, underline new. Now, you see, in the book of Isaiah chapter 28, they said this is the, with stammering lips and with a new tongue. The Bible says, this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongue. Now, we need to trace that word new and understand what it means. Are you still with me? You are not with me. Please follow me today. New tongue. That word new in original Greek is called, the original word used for new, there is kainos. K-A-I-N-O-S. Kainos. Kainos has a wide spectrum of meanings, but as it relates to this scripture, the best word that would have been used instead of new would have been fresh. They shall speak in fresh tongue. Now, for those of you that come from Otukpa, the Otukpa has this. There are palm trees in that place. Lot of palm trees. And there's a danger that is always associated with palm tree prone areas. The elders normally counsel you. That palm wine, that one that is the original fresh one. Eh? Even though I have not yet understood this saying by experience. So you must not say, there's an experience I had that I'm drawing from. No. This saying that is coming forth now, I have not understood it by experience. The Lord will help you in Jesus' name. That fresh palm wine, that one that comes early in the morning. I also know that most of us don't have experience. You didn't learn this by experience, but for those that learned this particular matter by experience, they can confirm that that early morning wine is very sweet, but it's very intoxicating, it's very powerful. Now, so freshness, as it has to do with wine, actually relates its intoxicating power. Relates to what is intoxicating power. You see, when you are speaking in tongues, because it is dunamis, its inherent power, you need to convert it from potential energy to kinetic energy. The word dunamis in Greek, the closest relative to it in English is dynamo. Dynamo is that part of your generator that you need to, there is something like a rope tied to it. Because its inherent power, its potential energy, you have to bring external energy and apply to it so that you can turn the dynamo. See, if you succeed in getting the dynamo to oscillate on a frequency, you can engage that potential energy and it becomes kinetic. At the point when it becomes kinetic, it has the power to sustain the movement by itself. You get that? Now, so when you begin to speak in tongues, and the Bible enjoins us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that we that are baptized in the Holy Spirit can speak in tongues at will. Why? Because it's inherent power. You decide when you want to use it. If you say you won't speak in tongues for 20 years, that's your business. Nobody will. It's your responsibility to take advantage of the resource base that have been factored into you. It's inherent. So your will be consulted in deciding whether or not you want to access it. Are you with me? You are not with me. Good. So as you begin to speak in tongues, we even start in the flesh initially. Because dunamis needs external help to turn the dynamo so you can start in the flesh. You can use your will to initiate the process. But you will not end up in the flesh. Because once the engine is activated, it has the ability to sustain itself. At the time when the activity can be sustained by itself, the energy that is being released is fresh energy. That's where that word kainos now comes into view. Oh, you're not. That word kainos, when the mechanism has been fully engaged and the potential energy is being converted to kinetic energy, at that point, the power that is resident is now being felt. So the utterance is not necessarily a new utterance. You might have spoken that tongue before, but you are not speaking it in the flesh. You are speaking it and it's producing fresh power. You get that? So kairos has to do more with freshness than with a new utterance. Are you with me? Good. So if you got it to that point now, he said they shall speak in fresh tongue. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 now reveals to us how we can find rest when we are operating in fresh tongues. Fresh tongues. 1 Corinthians 14. The Apostle Paul gives us insight. And he shows us how we can access some things. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 3, take that, and then we'll move to the next two. 14 verse 3, and then we'll now see 13 to 15. 14 verse 3 says, he that prophesied, no, 2, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit his spirit, in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, speaking in tongue was contrasted with prophecy. So he said that if I'm speaking in tongues, I'm edifying myself, I'm speaking directly to God, and my understanding is unfruitful, but how be it in the spirit realm, I'm seeking mysteries. But in prophecy, prophecy is distinct. A man that begins to prophesy speaks unto edification, speaks unto exhortation, and speaks unto comfort. And then Paul now begins to say that, you see, in your speaking in tongues, because your understanding is unfruitful, people cannot benefit from it. Only you benefit from it. But in prophecy, when you begin to prophesy, your utterances are distinct. They exalt. They bring comfort. They bring... Because of that, we can benefit from the prophecy. And then Paul now went further in the teaching and said that we should desire. As we desire spiritual gifts, we should desire to edify. That means we must go beyond just enjoying it with our understanding unfruitful. We must come to the point where when we speak in tongues, our understanding can be fruitful. Are you with me? That is in the book of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13 to 15. I want you to see, there's a transition there. There's a transition there. 13 now says, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may what? Interpret. So there are times when, you see, as you begin to use the gift of speaking in tongues for many years, a time comes when as you speak in tongues, begin to speak in tongues, see, you are actually releasing utterances that were kindled by the Holy Ghost. Alright? Your vocal cords are seized. Your utterances are powerful. At that time, it's the Holy Spirit speaking through you. And you will not be too wise if you don't understand the meaning of what you are saying at that time. So, at that time, you should be asking God for understanding of the tongue you are speaking. I went to pray, and as I was praying, I was caught up in the spirit. The tongues I began to speak was beyond the tongues I would normally speak if I want to pray, because the Holy Ghost has seized my vocal cords. The next point is this: I cannot use those things that I've uttered until by the Spirit I find out what He was saying. Are you with me? Now, you see, when you have positioned yourself to get understanding of some utterances that you have released, do you understand? There's a positioning. There's an expectation. You know something has been released, but you need to find out what exactly had gone forth. And you position yourself for such reception, God will give you interpretation on that thing that you spoke about. It is when you have received interpretation of tongues you have spoken that rest comes. This is the rest and this is the refreshment. Let me give you an example. How many of you are here and you have ever dreamt before and you didn't understand the meaning? Or maybe we'll do it the other way around. How many of you are here, you have never dreamt before that you could not interpret it? Every time you dream, you interpret your own. You see, that dream was shot into you. The dream is a communication on a higher plane than your natural communication. And that was why your brain could not unravel the meaning. Your understanding was unfruitful even though the communication had been contracted. You know what to do in such situations? You need to pray in tongues. If God gives you a dream that He hides the understanding from you, what He's saying is, come closer, come. I have to talk with you. Not many believers are responsible to follow it through in prayer. And when you don't begin to pray on it, the interpretation never comes. That's how it is with tongues. If you don't pray on it, you get to a point where you not even know that dreams are actually a channel through which God can speak to you. Because you were not responsible enough to handle the ones that came. You could not pray upon it until the understanding will be unraveled. Just like when you speak in tongues and you know that this utterance that I spoke has gone beyond my vocabulary. This is an utterance that came from heaven. And then because you are not satisfied, you need to understand what God spoke through you, and you stay further in tongues. When you stay further in tongues, the understanding comes. You can actually interpret that which you said. And a great inspiration of direction can come through that way. It's when that understanding has come that rest. You can actually take hold of the rest that that tongue brought. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So in your spiritual journey, you must understand how to tap into the knowledge of the mystery that was communicated through utterance in the time of prayer while speaking in tongues. Are you with me? You know when the prayer you're uttering is tongues as a prayer language. You also know when your vocal cord is arrested by God and strange utterances go out. If that experience happens to you, don't go to sleep without understanding that utterance that God fired through your system. Exactly. Very important. Many believers are lazy. They like coming to... See, you may not understand that this teaching is conferring a responsibility upon you. At least you have a choice. The day it happens to you and you decide not to search into it, at least you know it's your fault. Not that you didn't know. Not that you didn't know how to use the tools for the journey, but you decided not to use the tools for the journey, and you will not blame anybody for your obvious spiritual babyhoodness. At least you won't be able to blame somebody else. Second tool for the journey is what we call breathing spiritually. There's a way to breathe spiritually. Every living thing has to breathe. Hallelujah. Well, let's get a position for that in scripture. Because as we advance, we are going to breathe discipline. You exercise it. Great power comes out of that. There are some people, you see them, they are not discouraged on Monday, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. For every day of the week you meet them, they are in high spirit. You are wondering, is this woman on earth? Is she passing through the challenges we are passing through? No, some people that understand the tools have known how to engage them. And on the account of engaging these tools, they can operate optimally for every day. You can swing today. I'll tell the reviver, you come back for 2 days, you speak in tongues, then you die. Then you're waiting for the next reviver at the end of next month. When evangelist Sunday Gucha will come and will revive us. Some people have taken tools. God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Many believers in Otukpo are lazy. They are like reviver. And they have forgotten that in the spiritual journey, there's a responsibility conferred upon you. You need to use the tools. Some of us don't need reviver. We are revived. When we come into a revival meeting, the meeting doesn't revive us. We just mix with new fire. And then another texture of the reality that you are basking in opens up. But you come flat. And then you are waiting for revival. Waiting for revival. You might even attend the night vigil and go home with a false sense of security. Because your spirit was not revived. There are tools for the journey. Sister, have you ever prayed in your closet before and then the Holy Ghost seized your vocal cords and you began to speak speak. You couldn't resist the tongues that came. For every utterance that came out, there was a meaning captured in it. And after you have revived from that supernatural moment, you now begin to seek to know what utterance came. If you don't do that regularly, you can't have rest. Those are moments where you should tap into things that will create a new cycle in your life. It's a taboo for you to be on one spiritual level for one whole year or 12 months. It's a taboo. John chapter 20. I went for youth service and I met some small boys like that. Because I was praying on the mountain and they saw me there. And they liked my prayer. They now came. So when they came, we prayed. Then I took the scriptures and began to teach them. This is what the Bible says on this issue. Most of them were orthodox. I had to show them about the Holy Spirit, lay hands on them. They began to speak in tongues. And we began to pray. And we began to fast. We fasted for and prayed on that mountain for 9 months. On that mountain. People that were practically from orthodox backgrounds that know nothing about the Holy Spirit, after 9 months of induction from the mountaintop, all right, we decided to go into the valley to test what we had gathered for 9 months. One of them raised the dead. We saw cripples rise in numbers so that we stopped counting. We did deliverance in Kano that such that Muslims began to consult or bring their children for the deliverance. It was in Kano. Because Muslims were patronizing us, we now decided that, okay, people come. We went to God in prayer and said, God, if people come for prayer, let us know what is wrong with them without asking them. So that these Muslims will know that you are a God that knows all secrets. That was how the fountain of word of knowledge opened. It opened so much, we had 100% success in deliverance. The boys I raised that time in Kano, till today they are strange people. Some of them operate in some anointings more than me. You see, the thing about being a spiritual father is not that you will be the most anointed. Oh, you don't know. One of your sons will spring with a strange unction. But you may not know that in heaven, everything he does will be added to you. Because you show the person Christ, the doctrine of Christ. So you fight him. It means you are not qualified. God himself will quack you. We saw all kinds of things, just 9 months, teaching about the path of spiritual progress and how to access God. Impossible people arose. So much so that police had to come and arrest me on that mountain. I was arrested by the police on that mountain. That I was a terrorist. That I was teaching strange things. And oh, Jesus. All kinds of things began to break out of 9 months of fasting and prayer and teaching. So much so that when I finished my youth service, I came back home to rest. And the young boys went back to the mountain and they refused to eat in dry fasting. That God, that copper has not finished his work. Call him back. So they used the thing I taught them on me. They used it on me. I was there on the 13th day of January 2003. When I knelt down to pray, an angel passed through the wall. And he said, go back to Kano. It was my voice that kindled the fire that sent that mercenary. People, this guy started having deep penetration. We had open air crusades for 6 years in Kano. Even when they said, Christians should never hold open air meetings. The day they came to arrest us, two crippled people began to walk. They came to arrest me. The police, they were there. People, everything. Two cripples, and among the cripples that walked was one woman that was very crippled. She used to sell beer. So they know her. You know police people and beer? It's like... So she was known in the relevant quarters. That night, that woman walked on that ground. The people that came for arrest, they changed their mission. They went back to the person that sent them and said, they don't arrest this kind of people. Yes, sir. Yes. 9 months of prayer and the pavilions of the Spirit were open. See, nameless people can carry the grace of God. Nameless people. I was on the crusade ground when, okay, we're preparing for crusade when witches now wrote us a letter. Because we're preparing for crusade, we had fasted and prayed, and God led us to anoint some trees. It was like madness, oh. But we went and anointed and prayed and said, We close you. 2 days later, the witches wrote us later. They say, you have closed our entrance. We don't have where to go and meet again. So we are coming to your crusade. Expect us. Let's meet on your crusade. Mole takabalaya, mama. Endalebokos. Let's meet on the ground. So fear caught me. And I came. I said, okay. You, preach today. You know what I was saying was, die today. Because they said they were they were coming to the crusade ground. So I choose one of my friends. I said, you go and die today. Let's. We'll be giving support from the back. Now the guy now preached that day and nothing happened. He preached and it was marvelous. He had never been like that under the anointing. Prayer had fueled him. He was like a cherubim. The second day I came again and said, okay, you go. We'll support you from the back. God moved that day. And the noise of it spread abroad such that that woman that sells beer, she left her beer selling and came for crusade. That it doesn't happen. That doesn't happen very often. For the woman to leave beer, she came. It was that day that me I went to preach, that third day that they came. I know. Was that day? And police too came that day. The police that have been they are in suspect court. They have been. I didn't know they were taking inventory of me, how I move around the place and things like that. So all of that. So they now came for arrest. That was when the bad woman began to. The fear came upon those people this week. Then when I called people to give their life to Christ, 500 and something people came and lined out. 300 of them were from that cult. I thought they came to give their life to Christ. And the Holy Ghost arrested my vocal cord. Instead of me to say, okay, say Lord Jesus, I just said fire. People who are coming to give their life to Christ, you are throwing fire. Fire. At about 110 people started manifesting when I gave that the claim. I had fasted dry for days. I had no strength. The last strength I had, I just said, fire. We did deliverance from 8 to 12 midnight. People vomited. Hey, Jesus. We closed down that cult. We closed it down. That witchcraft cove. We closed all their members. We captured and we delivered them that night. 9 months prayer. Why sit we still until we die? Why sit we still until we die? Something opened over my life since that time till now. Who told you that the spirit is not hard? You just need to be consistent, that's all. And if you know the tools, you can come out of anything. Doesn't matter what you were attacked with. The net with which you were bound, you can come out of anything. So much so that the devil will say and look at you and wonder, what man? Okay, let's take the second point quickly. John 20. Verse 21, the Bible says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Spirit. He breathed on them. He did what?
He breathed on them.
And said what?
Receive the Spirit.
Okay. Let me show you something. A tool for the spiritual journey. Maybe we'll begin from, I hope you have read your Bible. The book of Joel chapter 2, where the Bible says, he that collect on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have read that before? Okay. Come with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to read something to us. 1 Corinthians 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. The reason why Paul felt the need to speak about spiritual gifts to the Corinthian church was because of their background. They were people that have tested of the demonic supernatural. Now that they had come to Christ, they need an understanding of how the supernatural is exercised in the kingdom of God. And so Paul had to smuggle that understanding so that they would not borrow the knowledge of the demonic supernatural that they had and bring it over to the kingdom of God. He said, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away by these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand. Now, he's giving us the basis of spiritual and supernatural operations. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. That's the basis of all supernatural operations. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Say, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. No man can say what? Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. So if a man successfully says Jesus is Lord, he was enabled by the Holy Ghost to say that. He was empowered to say that. No man, not even playfully, can say Jesus is Lord except by spirit enablement. It is not within the frame of man to make such a statement, meaning it from his heart. He must be prompted by the Holy Ghost to arrive to that at that point. Are you with me? Now, Jesus came and he said, he breathed on them. He said, receive his. Alright? 1 Corinthians said, no man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. In spiritual breathing, you make it a part of your daily life to say thank you, Jesus. Now, see, those of you that easily get discouraged, you are not breathing. You travel from Makori to Otupo, you say, thank you, Jesus. Just do it mechanically until it becomes part of you. You will see that you will never run dry. Now, you see, when the apostles began to try to inculcate that culture among the brethren, especially when we look at scriptures like Colossians chapter 3 verse 17, they deliberately try to inculcate that as a culture among the living brethren. In Colossians chapter 3 verse 17, the Bible says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That it must be incorporated into your lifestyle to always say thank you, Jesus. Because no man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. So when you say it, your inner container of spirit dwelling is affected by your utterance. Now, one of the veterans of the faith, I don't want to call his name. One friend of mine, Uncle Billy, invited him to pray with him. So I think they started the prayer about 11 o'clock in the night or something. So that
friend of mine spoke in tongues, spoke in tongues. Bala koros abala bala kaye kabaka taila bakabarata masa. After 20 minutes, uncle will say, thank you, Jesus. The man with the other one, like the ete kotakula mataitokulo. Ikamala kalabana. After 20 minutes, he will say, thank you, Jesus. By 4 a.m., the young man was tired, so he had to sit down. So the man said, thank you, Jesus, till daybreak. That was his prayer, till daybreak. From 11 till daybreak. His prayer was what?
Thank you, Jesus.
Those are people that know how to breathe. He's still trying to take air. That's why some of you can't sustain prayer. You can't go. You have not exercised your spiritual lungs. It was a culture, a custom among the people of God to do everything according to the name of Jesus. It should be incorporated into your utterance, because no man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Somebody tell your shout it loud.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you do that, you will find out that no man can bring an offense around you that can affect your heart. Your heart is guarded. Your armor is in place, and there's no hole in it. We have forgotten the spirit culture, our spirit culture. We have a culture that is derived from the spirit realm that the apostles admonish that we must sustain. You see a believer, he's carrying so much potential by the Holy Ghost on the inside, but yet he can still be depressed. All the ailments of infirmity are still true in his life, because he doesn't know how to reach into the depths of his being and mount up with wings. The man said, thank you, Jesus, till 6 a.m. So when daybreak came, the young man left, but he was still there.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus. The young man was gasping for life, but he
said, thank you, Jesus.
He came out of that place and opened scripture and taught the scripture for how many hours? Out of that breathing. Does the environment still control you? Circumstances, situations. You don't have activity going on inside. Somebody can come and insult you and he say, problem to you, you are bitter. Hey, you are a baby. That insult affected your life, but it did not affect your destiny. People that know the truth know what to know, that not everything matters. We are still doing this baby, this milk. They say you need to be weaned from breast. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. When last did you say that? You come to a point where your entire life is insulated from external effect. The evil things that be going on doesn't affect your heart. Doesn't make you shift your temperament, because you have so much activity and energy going on the inside. You are taking in oxygen. You have done something that affected the Holy Ghost that is inside of you, because you cannot say that except you are inspired by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost in you is at work, giving out strength for you to keep on that culture, giving out power for you to sustain that operation. Thank you, Jesus. A time comes when you begin to do it unconsciously. That's when it's more powerful. Thank you, Jesus. When a Muslim man enters a car, he says, Bismillah. Bismillah. You say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You become strong inside. You become mighty inside. Say, whatever we do, both in word and in deed, do in the name of Jesus. You come back home, see the children are sick. Oh, no, don't move in the flesh first. Start with, thank you, Jesus. Whatsoever, I say whatsoever, whether evil things, bad things befall us, your first approach towards it is what?
Thank you, Jesus.
It means that you have invoked the power of your realm over the circumstances.
These are tools for the journey. These are things you must implement on a day-to-day basis. You find yourself soaring higher than the circumstances of your city. Principalities are not that strong. It's just that we are ignorant of our heritage, of the thing that looms around our lives.
Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Okay. Then, third tool for the journey. I hope you are getting something. These are mere tools. They are elementary tools for the journey. If you can carry these tools, your spirit in the next 6 months will become massive. Such that if you come into a place and somebody is speaking, and he's not speaking by the Holy Ghost, you will know. You see, if all of us grow one step higher, all of us, you know, to go, every Christian grows one step higher, you will discover that a fake preacher can't deceive them again. If we want to kill error, let people grow. Their taste buds will shift. And when their taste buds shift, you cannot speak to them by the flesh and they will hear you. Because they are already operating in spirit life. That's why we need to go to sort all the fake voices down.
Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Okay. I want to round up. Show you number three. After showing you number three, we will now practice something. And then God will come. And he will put something in your hand. Number three. Every believer must know when his spirit is giving birth. Okay, you don't think that birthings can take place in the spirit realm. You know, have you read that scripture that says whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world? So things can actually be born of God. There are times when your spirit begins to birth things. When God begins to birth things through your spirit. You must know those times. Those are not normal times. They are not regular times. Those are significant times. And seasons where things are being born from out of your spirit are critical times that confer specific responsibilities upon us. And we need to know so that we can take our journey. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Let's start with Ephesians chapter 5. Well, maybe because of time, we'll continue the sermon I started yesterday night. We'll do that tomorrow evening. Okay? We'll continue tomorrow evening. Let's do this one first. And be sure that everybody has tools
for the journey.
Tools for the journey. I will never forget those people I met in youth service. I started out with them, teaching them the basic things to do and how to navigate in spirit life. We teach them, then we pray. Teach them, then we pray for 2 hours. Teach them, we pray for 4 hours. Teach them, we pray for 5 hours. The time came, the 5 hours prayer was not enough. So we're praying 6 hours to 8 hours every day. And we did that for 9 months. Unknown to us, our circumstances didn't change, our finances didn't change, but something changed. Hallelujah. Your finances are not the things that God will address first.
No.
Say, okay, Lord, you have been hunting me for many years. Now I've come. So let the blessings come. You'll be amazed. The finances won't change. The wardrobe won't change. But something will change. And that thing that changed, keep changing. But it was not physical. We didn't know that anything was happening to us. We were lost in it. And we're growing in the spirit. We kept praying. We shut the world out. We kept praying. And we pray in tongues until God will release us. Until we feel light. So we followed it like that. Followed it for 9 months. It was in the 9th month that God began to speak to us about us. For 9 months, he was not concerned about our pocket, about our wardrobe. It was after 9 months, in the 9th month of that prayer, that God now said, he was I should not go into full-time ministry. He will give me a job. I said, well, I did not ask particularly for a job. I want to. So he will give me. So that was when I knew that God wanted me to do secular work. Because I was thinking I would go into full-time ministry. Do you understand? But he now brought tent making. So we now, after learning the hard way in Kano, we now discovered how to do ministry and still maintain that spiritual life. Work in the office and you maintain the spiritual life. You are mounting, you know those tanks in our pit? I climb them. These ones are short. The ones in Lagos are very tall. We do climb in fasting and praying in tongues. Your own work is to sit in the office. Me, I climb, mount things up, down, climbing. You check, you take the knowledge, you go and run the calculations, know the quantity left. If vessel comes weak, climb. But you sit in the office and your spirit is lean and hungry. You are responsible. Hallelujah. Do you know the kind of work doctor does? I went to his office. I saw files. If it's me, self, I will not be okay. Files. You must know when your spirit is giving birth. When God is beginning to give birth to your spirit, is birthing something. Because whatsoever is born of God, that's the only thing that has the capacity to overcome the world. So, God births things through your spirit. You must know that. And you must know when it's taking place, because there are significant moments in your life where God hands you the key that has the capacity to overcome the circumstances and situations that have been kindled around your life. It's a moment of victory when the bettings of God takes place. Are you here? Alright, let me read one scripture, then we'll pray together. As we are praying, he will come. But let me be frank with you. In my vision that I saw, only one person. It's only one person that God came and marked. One. I didn't see more than one. Maybe it has increased. But I'm sure of one. This one. Now, the markings that God will put upon you and the deposit that will come upon you will begin to grow towards a period of 5 years. The fullness of that which you are going to contact this night will take effect in 5 years from now. It will begin to grow. It will begin to shape your life into something that was not your plan for yourself. And in the fullness of time, it will speak and it will not lie. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul begins to give us understanding. By the time you read from verse number 15, the Bible says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord." Every time the Bible recorded that men were filled with the Holy Ghost, they spoke. When they were overwhelmed with spirit power, they did what? Their speaking was an expression of that which was born when the Holy Ghost formed himself with strength in their inner man. Now, see, I don't have time to rush that scripture. See that he walks circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. That is not God's responsibility, that is your own responsibility. To see that he walks circumspectly, calculatively. Why should you have such circumspect plans? It's because the devil is also active. He's not sick. You see, the devil knows he cannot stop you actually, but he can divert your course, give you a different emphasis. So because of the devil's ploy to give you another vision to follow, Bible says that we need to ensure that we walk circumspectly, not as fool. You see, you'll be walking as a fool when you entertain actions that you cannot predict is full repercussion. Now, Pastor Shala was telling me about a young man. He's a preacher. But he likes touching women. And when he touches, he'll come and confess and say, I touch woman. You touch, and now say, I touch. And he will say, there's power in confession. He is not a wise man. Because that part, that distraction is allowing. He doesn't understand the effect that will take place in the next 10 years. So it's not prophetic about the leading of his life. He's allowing things that will create a serious effect in the future. He's not working circumspectly. He's not wise in his navigation. Oh. You see, when you are steering a ship, I hope you know that on sea, every place is like every other place. Are you with me? So the only thing that makes for direction is the radar, the GPS radar. But the time comes when it is possible that your GPS can fail. When your GPS fails, there's only one possibility of navigating to the right shore. You are going to be checking, we call it celestial navigation. You will check when the sun rises. Mark that time. You go to the navigation chart. You use that time to calculate the angle that you need to steer the ship. You wait for when the sun sets. You mark the time. Use that time to calculate the angle that you need to maintain. From sunrise to sunset. From sunrise to sunset. Through calculation, you can navigate your way into the right port. That's what that scripture means. See that you calculate your way, so that you don't arrive at a place that you did not intend to arrive. Because if you arrive at the wrong place, it means you were a fool. See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. You see, one thing about Greek language, in order for you to understand scriptures, you need to know small Greek, actually. I have tried to escape it, but I found that it's not possible to go too far in Bible knowledge without understanding linguistics, original linguistics. Now, you see, in Greek language, we have two words for time. Just like we have four words for power, we have dunamis, we have isthmus, we have kratos, we have energesis. In Greek, for time, we have chronos, we have kairos. Whereas chronos time means chronological time, kairos time means opportune time. Those of you that went to boarding school, dining time was 6 o'clock. For any reason why you are not in the dining hall by 6 o'clock, is that reason why you miss the opportunity. You can play football by 4. You can go for fishing by 5. But by 6, you are under pressure. Wisdom demands that you should be where the opportunity is. The Lord give you understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. See, chronological time or chronos time is a build-up of time. No significant thing happens in chronos. It only happens in kairos. So, the Greeks divided time into two. The normal passage of time and the times within time where there are opportunity. You get that? If you plant corn, how many months does it take before we can harvest? Help me now. No farmer here. It takes 3 months. So, all the time from when you planted till the week before harvest, that's chronos time. Are you with me? If you run to the farm and say, I'm hungry, deliver some corn, the farm will disappoint you because it's not kairos time. There's no act of faith you can use, I'm babbling, that you can make the farm yield before the kairos. It's not given to faith. It's a matter of ordinances established by the wisdom and the authority of God that you need to submit to. You understand what I'm talking about? Okay. Now, so the kairos time is the opportune time. And the Bible says that we should not be fools, but we should be wise. And in our wisdom, we should redeem the kairos. Why did he say so? Because the days are evil. The devil will fight you, not during the chronos time. He will take a seat and sit down. But when his Kairos time is announced in the spirit realm, he himself knows that your season has come. That's when he will fight you. You don't understand it. Oh, mom. You can be praying that your tongues for 9 months on the mountain. Eh? He sees that you are developing momentum. And a Kairos moment will be established for your rising because of your consistency. It has been labored in the heavens. And then suddenly, when the Kairos moment comes, you are going to be tempted seriously to operate in the flesh so that you can lose your position in that thing that God has placed for you on the account of your consistency. Do you know how much attack came after the 9 months? It was terrible. It was terrible. And the attack did not come from unbelievers, it came from believers. It came strong. Why was the attack? I came to teach Bible study. And I said that today we are teaching about Holy Ghost baptism. Meanwhile, the fellowship is orthodox. Holy Ghost baptism. Then I show them the Bible. After showing them, I said, today we are going to pray. People will be baptized in Holy Ghost, and you don't need to believe. And then I pray. And then people began to speak again. The reason why I was given opportunity to teach Bible study was because the Bible study teacher traveled. He left an orthodox fellowship and he came back and met a Pentecostal one. That was my problem. And the fight was a fatal fight. I did not know that he wanted to friend a sister in the fellowship. Because me, I didn't want to friend anybody. But he felt that his girlfriend was believing my gospel too much. And it became a fight. But you see, I was being tested. For the portal we opened for 9 months, there was also a 9 months test. The devil knew the Kairos moment. We were about to lay hold on something, but there must be a test. He said, so the Kairos must be redeemed because the days are evil. The fight became too much. And I went to God in prayer. I said, allow me fight for one day. Let me fight. Just one fight. One day, I'll repent. Then he said, you can have your fight if you want. But your wilderness journey will be prolonged. It means you will miss the Kairos. Your days in the wilderness will be prolonged. You will have to fast again for 9 months to create another season. And that was so much loss of materials. So I had to, your character will be tested. Oh, you are praying and fasting now. He won't come. You are still in the Chronos time. When you are about to break forth, he will form a garrison around you. Anything can be used as a tool to speak for him. But you must redeem the Kairos. Because what? The days. Then he gave us an insight into how to redeem the Kairos. He said, be not drunk with wine while in his excess. Now, you see, for natural people, the way they pass Chronos time, Chronos is to shack wine. So that, you know, Chronos time, spare time, extra time, half time is what? He said, you, let that not be your culture. Instead of being drunk with wine, get filled with Holy Ghost. Now, you see, it's obvious that in order for you to survive the Chronos, the seasons that God has placed, for some of you, he has placed 5 years over your life. That if you can be consistent for 5 years, it's hard to be consistent. And in order for you to be consistent, you need to be going high. The Bible is not against going high, but it's just against the means by which you go high. He said, don't use wine. Going high is necessary, but don't go high by what? By wine. Go high by the Holy Ghost. Tell your neighbor, go high. He said, when you go high by the Holy Ghost, then your spirit begins to give birth. Those are the things that sustains you during the Chronos time. You begin to speak to yourself in hymns. Hymns begin to come. Psalms begin to come. Spiritual songs begin to come. I need to show us what hymns are, what psalms are, and what spiritual songs are. Because these are signs of spiritual health. If these things don't happen to you regularly, you are sick spiritually. Redeeming the Kairos because the days are evil. A time comes in the city when a man plants a church, people begin to threaten him. Those are evil days. You must have a way of survival. A way of survival that is stronger than the attacks coming from the environment. That's what the Bible means when it says, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. That means the activity going on your inside must be stronger than the temptation and the challenges on the outside. You can always prove that every man is a liar and God is true. He said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs. Give me volume on your keyboard. I remember those, hey, Jesus, there are some people that every day you meet them, they are high in spirit. There's a secret. Do you remember those mornings when a strange song is born out of your spirit? It might be a song that you have never sung before. The song of the Spirit. It has the ability to enlarge God inside of you, so that he's so mighty, so strong, so big. And when you have sung that song for many, many times, and somebody comes and insults you, you don't even know he's there. You responded in the flesh because you were empty of substance. That's the way of surviving the chronos. Things will be born on the inside. That's how we survive. Carnal people are everywhere trying to distract you, but there's something going on the inside. And whatsoever is born from within can conquer everything that comes from without. I remember I was going to preach in Zaria. We prayed for 14 days with fasting. And God did not give me a message. Have you ever been that frustrated? You tried to do spiritual activity, but you never broke through, as it were. You were just floating. You did not go through the passageway. There was no penetration, no entrance. The portals were locked. The passage was barricaded. For 14 days, that was my dilemma. But you see, I did not understand. As we entered the bus to travel, a song broke out. I did not know that was the answer to my 14-day prayer. It's a seed that he walked circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. You must know when your spirit is producing power. A song came instead of a message. A song came instead of a scripture. A song came. And the song was saying, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be thou lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory is to come. I sang that song from Kano to Zaria. When I reached Zaria, I forgot the song. I did not understand that what God was saying through that song was that you were going to confront the gates of Zaria and it will be lifted. I did not know. I forgot. It's good to be an intelligent spiritual student. I came for the meeting. The people came, they welcomed me, and then they offered me rice. I said, Kai, I've not touched heaven yet. So this is your rice. They begged. I said, wait. Then they almost cried. Then we said, okay, we'll eat the rice. We prayed that night till morning, no sign. Prayed from morning till 4 p.m., nothing. We knew that demons were deployed to confront us. But I forgot the weapon that God begged through my spirit. What I was supposed to have on my tongue all through the time was, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. But I left my weapon. I left that which was born from my spirit. I was looking for redemption from elsewhere, and the devil promised to mess me up. In the midst of my prayer, instead of God speaking to me, it was the devil's voice ahead. I said, he said, I will disgrace you today. I said, Kai, God doesn't speak like this. Hey, Kapolantema, Ilama Kayata. But you see, God had spoken, and I kept his word aside, looking for redemption in places where it could not be found. So it was easy for me to pick up what the devil was saying, because I ignored what God was saying. You must know when your spirit gives birth, when God becomes excited in the spirit and he begins to release his realities. You must catch it, because he needs his redemption and power. I came to the crusade ground and they ushered me to the front. No message to preach. I said, what is this kind of stuff? I laid on the ground. I prayed, oh, with my suit. Those days, that's when I had suit. Hey, you know, I was still coming from the success calling. So I was changing small that time. So we believed in suit. My brother, eh? If God has not moved your spirit and you put suit, it's a mockery. Be thou lifted up, ye everlasting God. And then God showed me mercy. The guy that was to invite me now started singing a song. As he sang that song, the atmosphere began to open. And I just wanted it to open small. It opened small. When I came, they told me when I was coming that they would give me 3 hours to preach. When I reached there, they said 30 minutes. I knelt down. With no sermon. No, what will you preach? Then I said, Jesus. That was the only thing heaven was expecting me to say. Jesus. There was no need for sermon again. That name I mentioned, power broke out. People began to manifest. They manifested demons. Then I now remember that he told me that ancient doors and everlasting gates will be opened. That was the day that rain fell, and I stopped rain, and rain fell to ABU gate, and it didn't fall on the ground where I was putting. Rain was falling like this rain didn't fall. I've never seen God answer my prayer like that. That was the day I commanded the atmosphere to be conducive. Something happened that if I say it here, you will not believe. That little song that played on your spirit has power to cut down a prince of the territory. That scripture that was laid upon your spirit has the power to quicken the dead. I did not know these things. I did not know that in that little song was the deliverance of many people held on that seed to slavery by the enemy. So I began to understand little by little until I entered Benue Links and I was traveling. As I was coming back, somebody in the bus now died. Then I said, God, wait, why will somebody die in the bus that I'm traveling? And he spoke to me and he said, the child, she will live again. Then I started mastering the way of the spirit small, small. So I went and life came back and he revived from the dead. Yeah. See, the person rises not because you are a man of God. He rises because the spirit gave birth to something. The cripple rises not because you are a man of God. He rises because what the spirit gave birth to what? To something. Be filled with the spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs. Let us pray for 5 minutes. Take me higher. That's your prayer. Take me higher. That I might mount up with wings like eagles. Take me beyond the limitations of my environment. That I might journey by the wind of your spirit. Kembolaisa. Kembolaisa. Men and mighty women will yet rise from this land. The heritage of God that seems to be lost shall be redeemed again. Elia, Sovaletia Comba, Pula Quantasa, Kaila Maracate Coseneca. Oh.
prayer.
Heila, Mama Dele.
Emmanuel. To drop some things in some people's hands that's already begun. Now listen to me, the anointing in this meeting at this section is going to come on people that God will be sending shortly.
to nations in the continent of Africa. An anointing will begin to descend. It will come on missionaries, people that God will commit some things into their hands. It's going to be strong, a strong anointing. It's going to be a strong anointing. It's going to be a powerful anointing. You cannot resist that anointing. You cannot resist it. You cannot resist that anointing. You cannot resist it. It's coming. It's coming right now. It's coming right now. It's coming right now. From my left hand side, Lord, to my right hand side, Lord, outside the canopies, all over this compound, and unto everyone under the sound of my voice. Holy Ghost. 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 Move. 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 Yes, it's coming. It's an anointing. God will take you beyond your enclave. He will take you beyond your domain. He will open depths and heights beyond your imagining. You are hereby commissioned to carry the scepter to the nations. You are hereby commissioned to take the spirit to the nations. You are hereby commissioned to take the anointing to the nations of the world. You are hereby commissioned to take the name of Jesus from place to place, from nation to nation, from kingdom to kingdom, from continent to continent, to proclaim the excellent majesty of Jesus. You will take the glory of God to people of strange languages, strange tongues. God will give you the ability to heal diseases that you have never known. His hand will be upon you. His hand will be upon you to do miracles, to do signs, to do wonders. Men will remember the Lord your God.
into the favor of God. I proclaim the name of Jesus. Sakeba Balimo. He will take you to places you never imagined. And I say, for the light is come. For the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is with you. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one shall become a strong nation. I will increase, saith the Lord. For though thy beginning be small, thy little end shall greatly increase. I shall cut off the strength of princes. I shall cut off the strength of darkness, and my light and my illumination shall be seen in all the land. For I, the Lord, God bring redemption to my people. Listen to me. A strange angel has been released from heaven. A strange angel has been released from heaven. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, from my left hand side to my right hand side, you have sent, we know, this angel for empowerment. That impossible things might begin to happen in the life of your people and in this ministry. A helping spirit, a helping angel. Father, let that angel begin to administer that which you have granted unto him. So from my left hand side to my right hand side, to the canopy outside, everyone under the sound of my voice, that angel is coming down. It's coming down right now. Somebody will be given the scepter of strength. The scepter of strength. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is coming. It's coming. Holy Ghost. Move.